You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Shaws of Sunset After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Shaws of Sunset After Show.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for the Shaws of Sunset. This is Season 2, Episode 3, I Love You, But I Don't Like You. I'm your host, Anna Koppel, and here with me...
Hi, I'm Dua Casey. Welcome.
Hello, everybody. I'm Yerman Gur.
Fun episode.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times.
And by good times, I mean, oh my God.
Oh, Mead.
There was a lot of conflict this episode.
What do you mean, a lot of conflict? Was there any non-conflict? Oh, the part with the mom. Okay, never mind. Yes.
Well, I feel
90% conflict.
I feel like there was a lot of conflict between different people. Like, you had a lot of subplots of, like, different conflicts.
There were. We have a lot to cover tonight. Before, I mean, we have several topics to cover, but before we get into those topics, I really, really just quickly want to touch on, at the very beginning of the episode, they talked about the previous episode where Gigi and Asa had her fight, and Gigi seems, her defense seems to be that she's defending Omid. And then that she defends her friends and that she is who she is. And
it's almost like her loyalty. She's like, my loyalty will lie with my friends. If you mess with my friends, then...
And she will cut you if you mess with her friends.
But don't mention her knives.
Yeah. And Dua, you kind of made a point that at the beginning of the episode, it seems to be...
Well, it's kind of like a foreshadowing, if you will, because at the beginning of the episode, they do, as they do previous episodes, they will, they'll recap the previous episode. And you see... Gigi and MJ in a room together talking, and then they will also cut to like Asa and Reza. So I do feel like this is starting to be like a divide. Like, and you do need in all those reality shows when you have all these conflicts, you need that like divide, that split. And I felt like the beginning of the episode really kind of showed. Now Mike, I feel, is going to be kind of neutral because he's a diplomat
this season. Okay, well, after that, also I noticed in that scene that this guy might be part of the Illuminati because...
Oh, my God. What? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry. I have to hear this. Anna, go.
No, it was just, like, Gigi's head and then, like, next to her head, like, the triangle in the eye. And that's all I saw. It's just, like, this giant tattoo.
She must be the Illuminati.
Yeah, I just thought it was random.
So dark, the con
hilarious.
Man.
It's a sign.
Anyway, so Lily had a photo shoot with her... Her, what is it called?
Swimsuré.
Yeah,
that sounds like a little kid's show, doesn't it?
Like, I don't know what kind of Nickelodeon shows you've been watching, but no,
it's like Gymboree, Swimsuré. Like, no, am I the only one?
No, sorry.
Am I alone in the room?
Yeah.
So Lily is trying to be this really cool person, and she invited MJ to dinner. She said that she's celebrating that. Something's complete, I guess, her swimsuré line.
No, the photo shoot.
She just wanted to go and celebrate the fact that the photo
the
shoot
The one
went
photo
well.
Shoot?
Yeah, that photo shoot.
Cool.
It's a big accomplishment.
She worked really hard.
And so this is
during
like
that shoot.
Exactly who she is to me. The photographer said, come in for the test shot. And she said, you know, she's not a model. And she said, you know, I hate testing, Josh. Can I see how cute I am? Oh, I'm so cute. It's like, Yeah, she tries to come off as this, like, really cool, simple, down-to-earth girl, but she's not.
Wait, oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. So you're saying that you think she tries to come off as down-to-earth when every interview she has the words, I'm fabulous, I'm amazing, and I don't know why people don't love me more. Mm-hmm. I am so amazing.
Well, it's,
hear me roar.
Right, she's not also, down-to-earth.
Exactly, but she also said that she finds it really funny when people like don't like her for no reason because it just shows how fabulous she is. But I do think that she is smart. I think that she is using this reality show in a good way. She's using it to market her line, which it will do quite well. Gigi, on the other hand, has apparently a company and a line of hair extensions that she hasn't even mentioned on the show, except for the fact that she hasn't even read her contract. So I think that Lily is just like the way that they're introducing her, she's using it to her advantage. And I think that is smart.
Actually, to be specific, I'm pretty sure in this episode, Gigi at one point says that she doesn't need to sell. She's just going to need to, she doesn't even need to know how much her product costs. Yeah. She just needs to market it.
Well, yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Before we get to that, let us know what you think. What do you think of Swim Jure? What do you think of AfterBuzz? Go ahead and give us 5 stars and give us a little comment, a little rate.
Absolutely.
And tell a friend.
Throw in a word. Yep. Tell somebody.
I'm going to throw in the word iTunes. Yeah. I don't know if I mentioned that word.
It's a good word. Going to iTunes. Word.
Yeah, it's a strong word.
Say it again
word.
For posterity.
iTunes.
Good girl.
I like that Reza called the Swim Jure. It's not just a swimsuit. It's a swimsuit with a mission.
Yeah. Yes.
It's on a mission, yeah.
I think the word he was looking for is slutty.
Yeah.
I think
that's, yeah.
He said it was like a money-making swimsuit. Like, it's a find your sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Asa tried to sell her diamond water. She went to Unix Water Bottling, which they didn't say specifically which waters they bottled, but I seem to notice like Powerade on the table and maybe Arrowhead. So they seem to have, you know, some pretty big water brands under their belt.
Some like unintentional product placement there.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. Yeah. It's like this group of water.
Yeah. She's like, and then the guy's like, would you like bottled water? I'm like, good one.
Yeah.
Good one, buddy. Didn't see that coming.
Way to slip it in there.
Asa should have been like, you guys have bottled water here? Like, throw in the joke when you can.
I have to say this. Did anybody else besides me, and please say yes, everybody out there, did anyone else just love the look on that guy's face as she was explaining to her vision? And he had that look. I can't even do it. I mean, it's going to be hard to those people listening on iTunes on the podcast. Just picture that look of dumbfounded, just shock and awe.
Well, it's the look that anybody gets when somebody comes and they say, "I want to bottle the best water in the world. I want it alkalined, and I would like to infuse it with real diamonds, and it will have love energy."
Love energy. When she said love energy, the guy's face went. You just hear the ticker tape across his forehead.
He couldn't even contain his laughter. He couldn't help it. At some point, I think he did put his hand over his mouth, but he was laughing. Mm-hmm. And what she said was, the most pure, beautiful water that's ever existed for super hydration.
For super hydration.
Not just regular hydration.
Not just water, guys.
So I have a question. Is Love Energy FDA approved?
Good one. I like that. That was good.
He said that it would be a $50,000 to $100,000 startup, which is
That's a pretty modest startup fee.
For any business.
Sure.
And
that blew her mind.
It blew.
She didn't know.
And I assume this is before the diamonds. That's my assumption.
Yeah.
Right?
So. Yeah. We haven't. And she like, and poor guy's like, well, we'd have to actually create like an entire system of sanitization. Where we'd have to actually have like a safe environment for the diamonds to be like to allow the water to be filtered through. She's like, And how's that? That's what? Like, we're talking what?
$2,000 to $3,000?
Yeah. It's like $2,000 to $3,000. I got that clean. He's like, no, it's going to be about $50,000 to $100,000 minimum. And she's like, oh my God. Yeah.
I'm going to need
I did
money?
Not see. Yeah. I did not see that coming.
She's like, I have to be sure I can get the money.
She even said, what was that bit that I was telling you about that I was laughing at when she says, when I think after he started laughing at her, he said, you think people can laugh at my ideas all you want. We'll see who's laughing when Diamond Water sells out all over the world. Yeah.
Every day.
We'll see who has the last
diamond
laugh.
Water.
Yeah, you would have to sell diamond water for like $150 a bottle for it to make a profit.
Well, it just depends. Yeah. Like, do you just
Voss
need, like...
be damned. Who wants Voss when you could have diamond water?
Yeah. Oh, what would that commercial look like?
Do you it imagine, would be like this person having Voss water and going, chucking it over their head and being like, I want diamond water.
Asa would be starring in it, exactly. Obviously.
Tarantulas would be playing in the background.
No, she has a diamond water song.
I have not heard this. Have I heard this song?
Yeah, it was on last season.
Yeah, it was on last season. Diamond water.
Well, I think the Tarantulas one just really stuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
But she would just be, all of her artwork would be in the background.
Yeah.
I don't understand how this is all happening, because to my knowledge, we've talked about this woman's net worth. And yet, mm-hmm. in the beginning of that segment, she's talking about how this is going to be a singularly challenging month. Mm-hmm. She has to uber hustle. So her idea of hustling is to go to Unix water company and pitch the most ridiculous water idea in the history of she wants it to be the most amazing water since water was invented or something like that. I forget exactly what it was, but I was like, oh my god, this is already going downhill.
But to her credit, I guess the initial idea of bottling water was, I think, crazy to people. You're going to bottle water? I'm not going to buy a bottle of water. I can get water for free, you know.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, I mean, you can still get water out of the tap for free, but, you know, people spend money on bottled water, so.
Well, right, but can we make the jump? So sorry, Duo. Can we make the jump between bottled water and diamond water? We don't want to hit, like, copper or maybe something a little cheaper, nickel. Right. I don't know.
Maybe she's just ahead of our time.
Some cobalt,
little platinum water.
Topaz, I don't know, something platinum water. We're just going to go jump right into the diamond water.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think that you should just, like, gradually get people to it before you just, you know.
Before her time.
But I will say with, you mentioned her net worth earlier, which I find it interesting because I thought that she must have come from money, which obviously they show in this episode that she didn't.
That she didn't, right.
And, so, I mean, her motivation behind all of this ridiculous, the water idea, or what we now think is ridiculous, it might end up being genius. Who knows? Like, I don't want to jump to conclusions.
I could eat my words. Who knows?
I could be wrong. I could be drinking diamond water next season.
yeah, exactly.
If she could send me some diamond water, I'd love to try it out. But where is her net worth coming from if it wasn't from her parents? You know? Her intention is to raise this money to help her mother, who is this lioness who she admires.
Who is taking care of the entire family on $30,000 a year.
$30,000 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. That doesn't even make sense.
I don't know.
You're right. It doesn't make any sense. And her father obviously isn't working.
Her father's a Navy deserter in...
Yes, but he doesn't, like, have a job now, like, at the local Dunkin' Donuts?
That's what I didn't understand, is I understand that he was an admiral in the Shah's Navy, but I didn't really understand what he did when they escaped to the United States... Because she said he hasn't been working for a few years, but I didn't know if that was her kind of subtle way of saying he really hasn't worked since we came out here.
And also, what is a visiting nurse? She said her mom's a visiting nurse.
I don't know. I assumed it was probably somebody that works on a short term, like a permanent, not a permanent, but
like
somebody,
a green card sort of a thing.
No. I'm a visiting nurse,
like a traveler. Like they have some nurse programs where you can travel, but I don't think that's the case.
Something
I actually don't know.
She's
if anybody knows
nurse.
And you want to comment,
iTunes, 5 stars.
Yeah.
And just on a side, on an Asa note, what the heck was she wearing when she was at Runyon Canyon with Rez? Oh my
that
god.
That was, it's, she, it
what was that? I'm going to wear spandex leotards, but I'm going to just have them all be little cutty wedgies in the front.
She has a serious, like, retro 90s legging problem.
No,
like,
that, those, no, nuh-uh.
Well, at the photo shoot, too, she had that, like, green leopard mm-hmm. thing and, like, a, like, blossom hat on. It was
like that Boy George hat.
Whatever. It was a 90s hat. It wasn't good.
It was questionable.
Yeah.
Fashion choices are questionable.
Well, so Gigi and her sister are also trying to get this. Are we done with Asa and her family? Do you want to speak more about that?
No. But Gigi, I don't feel like Gigi's trying to do anything.
You know what? I actually, I almost never defend Gigi. But I think in this fight with her sister.
Don't do it.
She made a decent argument, at least. And her sister, the one point that she made was that, you know, I could set up a party just for the extensions tomorrow, invite all the people, all the hairdressers from Beverly Hills, Hollywood, wherever. Do we have the budget for that?
That's a great idea. Yes, absolutely.
Her sister never answered the question. She just went back to, you're embarrassing, it's irrelevant, grow up, you're a 5-year-old. You know, so she never she doesn't seem to be giving Gigi numbers. Mm-hmm. So it just seems to be they shouldn't be in business together.
Why are they in business? Perfect. Super. Let's stop right there. Why are they in business together then if they hated each other for all this time when she clearly said at the beginning of that segment, my sister and I have been fighting forever?
Mm-hmm. And their father, I love Mahmoud. I love Mahmoud. He was there to mediate. Obviously, didn't do a very good job.
Yeah.
However, I think that her sister is just fed up. Number one, she's pregnant and hormonal. Right. But she's just fed up because Gigi isn't doing anything. And, of course, she needs to know about her stuff. And apparently she has some good ideas because she could have a party. But instead of calling her sister and being like, you know what, can I get some numbers? I don't think that she right. does anything. I think she's waiting for her sister to take the initiative.
That's what I thought the argument was. I mean, I get that her sister, I understand where you're coming from. I definitely think that the sister is so far deep into the resentment portion of the anger part of all this mm-hmm. that she's yeah. not even answering Gigi's questions specifically anymore. But on the side note, her argument is, I think, more that Gigi's not getting it, of course. Her argument is more the fact that Gigi is not even bothering to, like, yeah, you can tell me right now that you want to put together a party, but you don't know what the budget is, but you don't want to find out. You haven't asked for what a budget is until this is the first time I'm hearing it. Mm-hmm. She's saying things like I said earlier, I don't have to sell this. I'm just a marketer. I don't think she really understands what marketing advertising means.
Yeah,
it means you actually do try to sell mm-hmm. your thing. That usually also means you're supposed to know how much your product costs, which she apparently doesn't. So it's but at this point, they're so mm-hmm. far into their history right. that I don't understand how any business can get done.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go into business with somebody, you need to be able to work closely together
sure.
to, you know, you'll have your individual roles, but to know each other's roles as well, to have mm-hmm. regular business meetings, especially when you're trying to get a business off the ground.
Maybe even have an office.
Right, maybe.
Where you both figure, okay, let's just show up.
But I think the main thing here is to keep it professional and keep emotions out of it. And every corporate job that people have, you think about it from a business standpoint. You don't think about anything emotional. They're way too emotionally invested, like you were talking about mm-hmm. earlier, Yerman. This will not work unless they need like a babysitter. They need a referee.
Yeah.
Mahmoud should have been wearing a referee jersey during that scene.
Yeah, but I don't think he's really doing that. I mean, if he's the only person that's ever been able to mediate between them, mm-hmm. I did not see a lot of mediating happening.
No. He was trying. He was like, please watch your words. Please don't say that, you know. But they were just screaming over him.
Did you see that look in his eye when Gigi was cussing? And he was like, don't you use that language. And she actually stopped for a moment because she listens to her father. And I think that Gigi's sister has so much resentment because Gigi gets what she wants all the time and apparently can manipulate her father.
Yeah.
And so why would you even need to get a job?
There's some deep-seated resentment on her sister's part, poor thing. She, you know, obviously Gigi, you know, all that stuff that she was basically yelling at her father saying, you know, doesn't she still pay her? Don't you pay her car bill, her rent, her? And he's like, partly, a little bit, part of it, all of it, some of it. Okay, all of it. You know, it's like he was clearly covering it up. Because at that point, you could even tell you could hear his mental Rolodex go through the frustrations he's had mm-hmm. about trying to get Gigi to take some responsibility for her spending habits, as we saw last season, too, when he mm-hmm. confronted her at the restaurant. Yep. So it's like, I really don't even understand why I'm being told that you are in a business together. What were any of these people thinking? If the father could have done any mediating, he should have said, I don't think it's a very good idea for you two to get into business together.
Yeah. That should have been the one thing
he actually did say. So I don't know. It just seems it's I don't know what I'm supposed to root for at this point.
Well, and you can tell that Gigi's sister is embarrassed by the way that Gigi is portrayed. Like, obviously she's seen the first season because she mentions, what are you going to get out your knives and your taser? Talking about season one, where mm-hmm. she's pulling out her knives, talking about Africa. So her sister is, I'm sure, embarrassed about all of this notoriety that she's getting by looking like a fool. Like, that has to be embarrassing to your family when you act with such low class again and again and don't apologize for it like she didn't apologize at the beginning of the episode.
Right. I don't know.
She was convinced that Asa had come up to her and pushed her, and then they do the immediate
replay. That's my favorite thing that they're doing now. They'll have these people tell stories and they immediately give you a flashback and be like, actually, I'll see it right there. They're like, you're pointing right at the screen going, that's not what happened. Look, there you are right there. You got into her face. What are you talking about? I wish that they had a thing where, like, excuse me, stop rolling cameras. Gigi, actually, somebody comes up to her. Actually, if you just take a look, this little mini screen right here, that's you right there. That happened. Okay. Rolling. Let's go again and have, like, give her a chance to, like, correct herself. Because then she just looks like, these people look like complete idiots.
Well, this is more fun this way for us.
It is, but it's fun. I just thought of, like,
Feel so bad.
Robin Williams, like, coming up. Excuse me. Actually, Gigi, if you could just take a look at this.
Like, it's Aladdin. There's a few quid pro quos, a few provisos. Unfortunately, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't understand that. Yeah. But yes, apparently she feels that Asa, she did say that, right? She did say Asa got in her face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She got up and she actually exampled it on MJ. And then she's like,
Exampled it. Yeah, new verb. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard a new verb used right here now. That's a Duo exclusive right there. Go.
She exampled After it. Buzz TV exclusive.
Thank you, Phil.
Demonstrated?
No, example.
Okay. I liked it. Yeah, I liked it.
That's a word.
It is now.
It's like a James Brown lyric.
And afterward, we'll conversate.
Yes.
All right.
But yeah.
So let's keep the show moving forward, please.
I don't know why I'm still talking. I'll just be quiet.
So MJ can be kind of backstabby and mean and ruthless. I thought that she was ruthless at the dinner with Lily. Can we talk about that?
So they went to dinner at Villa Blanca, which if you are a Bravo fan, you know that this is the Real Housewife of Beverly Hills, Lisa Vanderpump's restaurant.
Mm-hmm. She owns the restaurant?
Yes, that's her restaurant.
Yeah.
I don't know. She just like frequented.
No. That is, she owns that restaurant.
She owns it. And it's a, you know, shishi foo-foo place.
Sure. shishi foo foo. Why not?
Yeah, shishi foo. It's
nobody
nice.
Says anything about shishi foo foo.
No, that's an actual word. Oh, kind of.
MJ was an hour late.
While she was late in that hour, we learned that MJ and Reza had sex
twice. Okay, that.
And nobody was bothered by the fact that Reza had no problems, no qualms whatsoever telling this story to in mixed company, in like without her being there.
Right.
Nobody. Nobody.
I like how.
Thank you, Phil.
I like how Reza tells the story. They were running late, as she always does. They're taking a shower together. And
Like, anytime, I don't run late, but it would not, like, cross my mind, like, hey, my friend, you know.
Let's just shower together.
Yeah, let's just save some time to shower
together.
That is the
all-time Jedi mind trick of all-time Jedi mind tricks.
For time's sake.
It's like, we are running late. You will take a shower with me. We're like, what? I will take a shower with you. Okay, that sounds like a good idea.
We'll just shower to save time.
I wonder, do you think MJ suggested it? Do you think MJ's just, like, been absolutely in love with Reza, like, since she was a kid, and she suggested it?
I don't know.
The question is, MJ wasn't, we never found out that MJ found out that story was told. So I'm thinking somewhere out there right now, MJ just watched that episode or watched it last week and went,
It doesn't matter.
Unless a few episodes down, she finds out that somebody knew. Like Lily will bring it up in a fight or something.
It doesn't matter who suggested it. It happened twice.
I think it does matter who suggested it.
The shower?
Yeah.
And then they were late.
Because maybe MJ...
And then they were just plain late. At that point, then they just didn't even care about being late. So that really didn't solve anything, did it?
Because maybe MJ was trying to seduce a gay boy. I think that would say a lot about her character.
All that had to happen was her thigh brushed against his wiener. So...
Yeah. That's not a very romantic story.
No, it's really not.
No. And he said they were in like a bathtub shower thing. So it's like long and skinny. And I was like... That just sounds weird.
Yeah. I would put money on this saying that alcohol was involved in the situation.
Is there ever a time when it's
yeah,
not?
That's very true.
So MJ shows up an hour late. Awesome. That's just super awesome. So you finally, it takes you 6 hours to confirm with Reza that it's an actual genuine invitation. So you respond in kind with being an hour late. Who are you people?
Which I actually don't think that, I think that the way that it was shown on TV, but I don't think it would be a weird thing to, if you have a friend that has a friend, like Reza and Lily, for example, in this story, if he calls MJ and he's like, why don't you come to dinner? I'd be like, well, is it you asking me? Because I don't want to impose, but if Reza was trying to like make them be friends, like putting two puppies in a room together, I could see how MJ would be like a little bit about it. Not
but
knowing.
It wasn't it cut to seem like Reza didn't want to fess up to the fact that it was Lily
it
that
was,
invited.
Right.
So
no,
all he had to say
he
was like, no. I just have your number. It's on hand. She asked if you could come, and I said, would you mind calling her and inviting her?
He acted like it was ridiculous that she would be sort of like, why didn't you think that, she can't invite you? Like, no, I want you to come too, but she did invite you. Like, why are you being?
I don't know why he was trying to be cryptic about it.
I could see both sides of it, though. I can see MJ's side of why didn't Lily call me herself. Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit awkward, but I don't know.
Whatever. So she gets there and immediately starts attacking Lily. I don't know that it was a straight attack, but it was like, so
I've been looking you up on the internet.
And she's like, oh,
so you're basically doing pornographic shots with dogs near your breasts and tweeting pictures of it.
No, but it's not an attack. You shouldn't take that as an attack.
Yeah, don't be insulted. I'm just saying I stalked you. It's called cyber stalking.
No, like, I love that she made that distinction.
It's a new invention, everybody. It's called cyber stalking.
No, it's cyber stalking. It's different.
I wasn't outside your house. I was just looking you up online. I didn't put forth the effort to really stalk you. What I found is funny, did you guys notice how she kept gesturing when she's like, and you had a puppy, and she kept gesturing, like almost cupping her boobs. You had a puppy. You had a puppy like this. The puppy was like this. And she was like, why would you find that insulting?
Yeah.
What was that all about, ladies?
Well,
Chelsea?
Well, Lily seemed to think so. Shall I quote now?
It was, go. Absolutely.
When people dislike me for no reason at all, it kind of turns me on because it makes me realize how effing fabulous I really am. Somebody's going to dislike me? That's jealousy.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Wait, that was awesome.
I don't know what that was, Phil, but
that was fantastic. Oh,
that's great.
That's great. Dua, I hope I can speak for Dua in this case, that we both laughed because for some reason, Anna, that is the most amazing Lily voice impersonation that I've heard in a long time. It was just the way you present. Let's do it again.
Go ahead.
We'll get into it later. But I have another one coming up. So.
Excellent. Good. We get to hear it again. Yes.
If maybe next episode you could just wear your hair the same way Lily does and we'll just come as Shaw's characters.
She like channels Dolly Parton almost.
It's
like
Cher, 100%.
What are those hairstyles she has in the interviews?
Are they wigs?
That can't be real. That can't be real. That's like a bottle of hairspray every day.
Per curl.
Yeah, per curl.
And each one of her eyes, there was one scene when she had like a whole purple theme, a very light purple theme, like almost a lavendery type thing with her eye makeup and lips and stuff. I was like, oh my God, you must spend 7 hours just to get ready for your interview shots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But that's what happens when you're fabulous.
Yeah.
And fabulous, in fact.
But it's funny when they cut to her interview shots and she's like talking. She's like, oh, you've got curves. That's great. And then she's talking and her hair is literally like a foot out. Like, it's just in around.
Yeah.
Like, this is some kind of practical joke. It's not funny.
Yes.
That is awesome. Sorry, go ahead, Alex. I feel like I keep cutting you off.
No. So let's actually talk about the dog picture if we can.
Yeah, sure.
Do we think it's sexual? Do you think it's sexual to have a dog on your bare chest?
Is that a legitimate question? Honestly, is that...
It's a legitimate question from me.
No, I'm not saying, like, I'm not trying to delegitimize it. I just made up another word. I'm just saying, like, is it really something that is so unbelievable to people that picture might...
It's one of her favorite pictures. She has it framed hanging in her house.
I don't think it's sexual to have a dog on a bare chest. But I also am in a society where, like, sex sells everything. So you can put anything on a naked woman and it would sell. So if that was trying to sell puppies, it would do that.
Well, animal cruelty? Because MJ seems to think it's animal cruelty.
I definitely don't think it's animal cruelty. I do think it's a little weird, though.
Well, she paid enough money for those breasts. Maybe she wants to document it somehow.
I mean, find another way. I just...
Well, it would only be animal cruelty if she, like, used the leash as, like, a bra.
If she gave her dog a Brumsky with those breasts? Is that what you're saying? Like, who's your... Come here, doll. And the dog is like, I can't breathe.
I think it's weird to have it hanging in her house more than it is to tweet it.
The thing is, I have not seen this picture.
Right.
I need to see this picture and then I will know. Because there's just like, that just doesn't look right. And then there's some artistic things that do, you know, look a little bit. But for art's sake, it's beautiful and it's gorgeous. I think the human form is gorgeous and I think puppies are cute. So.
Not buying it. I might be on Anna with this one. I don't really know why there would be.
You're on Anna with this one?
Yeah. That sounded weird. Let me back that up. I'm on Anna's side on this one, if I understand her side correctly. I don't understand the point of that thing being framed in your house. Hanging so you can look at it every day. Because of all the pictures that you have been taken of your fabulous self, right, the one you chose was with a dog over your breasts.
Yeah. I don't know that it's sexual, but it's just a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a question mark.
Concur.
I think that
she's lonely.
I think that we should have this picture. We should show it at some point as well, if we can do
that. We'll look it up in the next hour.
I'm curious to see what other people think. Is that it? No, that's not it.
That's not it, but...
That can't be her. But
that's it. Apparently...
That's Rose McGowan, I think, but it's close enough.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like it.
That's
creepy.
That seems a little sexual.
Yeah, that's... Rose, way to go. Is that Rose McGowan?
Do you see the dog's eyes are hilarious?
Yeah. I think if a dog touches your nipples, it's weird.
All righty.
Where do I find this photo? I've literally typed in MJA boobs, dog,
oh, no, it's Lily.
Everything.
It's on Lily's Twitter account.
It's Lily's Twitter account,
Lily
apparently.
Galici.
Lily Galici, yeah.
And it's Lily with the thing or MJ?
It's Lily.
It's Lily with the thing.
Oh, it's Lily. All right. Yeah. I get it. I've been looking for the wrong person.
You better find it, Phil, in the name
Trust
of
Trust me. You don't
want
to know what I've been looking at.
Excellent.
Yeah, MJ would never do that. That's animal cruelty in her eyes.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
What is that? What?
So that's what Lily said. And is that an inside joke?
Is that supposed to be like supposedly? Supposedly?
What?
It's complicated. Did she just mispronounce that word or is that an inside joke?
I thought it was meant to be an inside joke, although I don't think anybody got it because then they had Reza's face just kind of blankly staring like, haha, yeah.
Oh, can I go back to how I am falling in love with Reza's nervous laughter? Like, when they had him in the interview right after he talked about how MJ and him had sex, and he's just like, you know what I'm talking
yes.
about?
Yes.
He did it again at dinner when he's just like, you know that there's tension in the room, but he just tries to like, it's like that guttural laugh.
So are we saying that MJ and Lily not going to be besties?
Not so much. She equated Reza to a philandering husband. That you just have to turn a blind eye. He has these little girl crushes and then...
Another reason that I think that MJ's just been in love with him since the beginning of time.
I thought you said they were brother and sister from the beginning of time.
I'm going to go and concur with Anna.
It does not mean that she's still
well
not
played.
In love with him. Touché.
Yes, but that's brotherly, sisterly love, not like love. I mean, it's like you can love your pets, just don't love your pets.
But this is also before I found out that they had sex. Like, that's a huge thing to find out that they
twice
had...
in the same bathtub.
Like, we might as well, you know.
All right, guys. All right, enough. Phil, if you come up with a picture, we'll go back to it. But in the meantime, let's talk about this real estate. So MJ and Reza work at Keller Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Reza wants to boot out MJ and bring in Mike. All right, there it is.
There it is. Hold on. Here we go.
All right.
Is this...
Wait,
really?
I was confused by this photo because this is what we're talking about?
Yes.
What we're talking about?
Hold on, Phil.
This
I feel cheated.
Photo?
I feel cheated because I don't even understand where the breasts come in here. Like, what? I don't understand what I'm... No, there's...
All right, so this, those of you who are just listening, we're looking at... It's lilygalici.com and... This is a picture that she's taken of herself with her cell phone in a mirror.
Which I think is the tackiest thing ever, by the way.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So the flash is already whiting out most of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see her breasts.
No.
We can see that she's topless, but we don't see her breasts.
Could be a bra.
Yeah, it could be a bra. Technically, it obviously, honestly, could be like a nude color bra. We wouldn't be able to know.
So we will never know.
However, she has this framed in her house?
Yeah, and the dog is not even resting on her breast. It's like on her neckline.
It's like pressed up against her face, so you almost get that French look of like the one eye because the dog's fur is in the other eye's
How
way.
How in the name of all that is holy does MJ infer animal cruelty from this?
All right, so this is not sexual. That one with Rose McGowan was...
And I don't see how this is cruel. The dog seems to be just fine. It's not like... being accosted anyway, I don't understand.
Yeah. Her mirror seems very clean.
Thank you, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, and it was a nice picture of her face, like her eye, like everything. Yeah.
Her makeup looked great.
Mm-hmm. I just think it was tacky. You get a photo shoot done and you can't just hire somebody to take a picture of you and your dog. You've got to do it yourself in the mirror.
Especially with all those test shoots. Moving on, Keller Williams.
Moving on, Keller Williams. So Reza wants to bring Mike in. I mean, I don't even know where to start with this. This scene was such a disaster.
So I had a quick question.
Please.
Was it made apparent, or I didn't get completely, that Reza actually does want to oust MJ?
Yes.
I just assumed that he wants to bring in Mike as kind of a partner with him, partner in crime to kind of up his sales.
MJ said, oh, we could bring a third desk in here, right? And he said, he's like, oh, I think we want to do our own thing. We want to team up.
Okay.
Well, MJ and Reza are now partners. Because my question when I saw this, I was like, why don't they have their own offices? They're multimillionaires. And you're like, well, they do a lot of deals together. So they work together. So I think that right now Reza and MJ are partners. And now okay. Reza wants to partner. He wants to break up with MJ is what's going on.
And MJ barely gets 12:15. She walks in the office. Unbelievable. Okay. So that's well, like her job performance is something that he obviously does not
now,
like.
Now, I want to say, because I've worked in real estate, plenty of work can be done from home. Mm-hmm. Most of the work happens outside of the office.
Exactly. Sure. A lot of open houses. Like a lot of times you're taking out clients.
You're meeting clients. You're doing paperwork at clients' homes. You're showing them homes. You go to the office. I don't know. I rarely went into the office. Rarely.
I agree. If a real estate agent is in their office all the time, that's a problem because that means that you're not working on your leads.
And you're right. You're not with clients. You're not. Yeah. So, right. You're not canvassing neighborhoods. There's all kinds of things. So, yeah, to be in the office all the time doesn't even make sense to me.
Okay.
Anyway, that doesn't mean that MJ is outdoing all those things, but...
Well, they did show right before that. They kind of, they had the Reza style. He's like, I'm focused on my work. I can't, you know, nobody's going to take care of me when I'm old. Work, work, work. And then they immediately cut to MJ when they're like, she's like, I balance my work between, you know, first I get my brows done and then I get either I tan real or I spray tan. And so it kind of there kind of showed you like where their priorities lie. And then it shows her strolling into the office at 12:15. So they're definitely trying to make it look like right now she's not working as hard as she should be.
And I get that too. And I also want to say that as a real estate agent, you can completely make up your own hours. Sometimes you'll have clients that can't see homes until 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. You know, so if you have that plan, like maybe you don't want to get started at 8 in the morning and do like a 12, 14-hour workday. So but you do whatever. You have the luxury of creating your own hours.
So if Reza's focused on the career right now, super laser-focused, as he said, he's laser-focused, what is he accomplishing in the office then?
There are things to do there too. I mean, there are like databases to create and there are phone calls that you can make from the office as well and paperwork to do.
Is that just his way of like feeling like he's actively doing work just by being in the office?
Some people need to go to a place to get work done. I definitely do. I definitely need to go to a spot to...
It's less distracting.
Exactly. Less distractions.
Something important that Reza did say, and I don't know if he was just saying it in jest because they were arguing, because I felt like a lot of Reza's arguments while they were arguing like kind of went astray and were just kind of like stabbing at MJ. He said, you haven't closed escrow since the 90s.
Yeah, that...
Can that be real?
No, that can't be real.
I mean, unless she had like a couple... You can have like a couple of stellar years in real estate and then not sell anything for another...
Maybe 20 years. It's over 20 years.
That can't be possible if she still has a net worth to be spoken of. I don't understand how that's possible. Obviously...
Maybe she's a really good investor.
Okay, first of all, she's 30-something.
See, I suffer from short-term memory loss.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Phil. Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay, so...
So, first of all...
So she would have had to
start real estate
in high school
as a teenager, just out of middle school, be like, I'm going to sell some houses.
Yeah. So, no, it's
which
not possible.
Which could technically happen with that woman of hers for a mother.
Yeah.
Like she may have been like, you're 13, go out and sell something.
Well, Middle Easterns work at a very young age. I had my first job when I was 14.
Okay, but it couldn't be that she sold so much real estate by the time she was 16 that she hasn't sold a house since the 90s.
Yeah,
no.
And she still has a net worth. You would have been like, I'm still trucking along.
Well, maybe she's not really 30-something.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. That's no, it's not possible. It's not. It's just not.
No.
So, okay. What do we reveal first? The real reason that Reza is so angry with MJ is because of something that happened with Gigi.
Go.
Would you like to?
No. I'm pretty sure. I'm wondering if I know what you're going
to
say.
Well, first Gigi, I guess, sent out this email to everybody. Reza didn't respond. And then Gigi sent out these tweets calling Reza a fat South Beach crackhead, Saddam Hussein, and a turd that comes out when a Jew and a Muslim have a baby.
Hell to the nah!
Oh, wow.
And so what he's saying is that MJ should side with him and separate herself from Gigi. Mm-hmm. And that's his real issue. Has nothing to do with when she's at the office.
Right.
So,
well, first of all, not to mention the fact that that has... nothing to do with anything having to do with anything.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere in the episode. It was like, wait, what happened?
But why didn't we hear about this earlier? Like, we have all of these episodes where Reza is, like, hanging out with Gigi and talking to Gigi, and they're, like, at dinner together. And yet now in this episode, he's like, this happened, and she should have sided with me. Well, it's like, well, you're hanging out with Gigi too.
Right.
You know, you don't start the episode with, well, Reza doesn't speak to Gigi anymore because this happened. Like, that should have been revealed a long time ago. This makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Well, and as you all know, and I'm sure it's public information, but where I got it is from Tamara Tattles, tamaratattles.com. Reza and Gigi are friends today. So, you know, where would MJ be if she was like, okay, Reza, and cut her ties with Gigi and... You know, now Reza and Gigi are friends again. You know, because I feel like Reza's like that. He's just very explosive and dramatic and...
He's a pot stir.
He's
a pot stir.
He did say something that was correct, though, that I do agree with. And he's like, you become, like, you align yourself with people that you kind of are like and you become like. So I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But MJ hasn't really made, like, a stand and, like, defended Gigi. MJ hasn't really defended Asa. MJ hasn't really defended Reza. She tries to keep herself.
She has made a stand.
She preserves herself.
She has said that Reza is her best friend, that she's Reza's best friend. Like, that is the stand that she's taken repeatedly. So, if anything, I think that she aligns herself with Reza.
I don't think that she's effectively taking that stance on like, a minute-to-minute basis. She's... In the thick of it, I think she tries to play the how am I going to get through this and somehow be like neutral in a sense, because there'll be times when she clearly sticks up or not clearly sticks up, but she'll be in somebody's corner for a second and then try to call him on it the next day at a barbecue and then say, Reza, you're my best friend, we're friends for life, BFFs, and then say you're going to die alone and withered.
So
in the heat of the moment, I cannot understand her line. I can't see her line that she's on.
Fair. I feel like she's a reactor. It's like she doesn't really stand for anything. I do agree that she is on Reza's side, although Reza doesn't feel that way at the moment. But if she's in a room with Gigi, she'll try and see Gigi's side. If she's in a room with Asa, she'll see Asa's side. But she won't really, like, even with the fight with Reza at the end of the episode, she never raised her voice. She kept her voice at a tone, and she's like, lower your voice. I feel like she doesn't stand for herself. She doesn't stand up. Like, she does. She really just doesn't. It's all about self-preservation in my eyes.
That's pathological.
Mike also asked her to lower her voice, or asked both of them to lower their voice. Mike, again, is trying to be the voice of reason. I thought it was hilarious that he even came in for this interview without a residential real estate license. And I love that he sat in the real estate broker asked him what he knows about Keller Williams.
That was a great look on his face. He's like, well, cut.
Yeah.
Cut to later, further down the creek.
I want to say that was probably just editing, but they edited it quite well.
Right. Well, I actually checked Mike's LinkedIn, and he is working as a senior investor specialist at BRC Advisors, so he is not at Keller Williams as of today.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he ever was, but...
It's almost like it was pretend.
Well, it didn't. I mean, the whole thing just was definitely one of those. I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been in those situations, but I've seen them. I've witnessed them especially when people are drinking. People are like, oh, yeah, dude, let's for sure. You and I are going to work together. We're going to take over this town. Woo. Cheers.
We're best
take
friends.
Your shot. Next day, we're like, all right, we're totally going to do this. Sweet deal. 2 days later. What?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Oh, dude, let's do that next week, and then it's done.
Yeah.
So
unfortunately,
I
went in for an interview to embarrass himself.
I mean, I think he was just kind of using the excuse to wear a nice 3-piece suit and look even more thick and rich on top. I said it again.
There it is.
I said it again.
Oh, for those of you, for those of you that don't watch every week, which you should, but Mike is known as Mr. Thick and Rich on Top, and that's
not
how
Mister,
we...
just Thick and Rich.
Yeah, just Thick and Rich.
Just Thick and Rich.
I can't call him Mister.
No.
No, it's weird.
No, he's not married.
Ooh, I've been beat up.
I think that's all.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go. Let's just go right into news and gossip.
Phil.
All
right. AfterBuzz TV News.
I don't have a lot of news and gossip, but again, from...
One juicy one, though. This one's good.
Super juicy. It's from Tamara Tattles at TamaraTattles.com. She has a blog. You should follow her on Twitter. Asa is dating Jermaine Jackson.
Dun, dun, dun.
Of the Jacksons, guys. Jermaine.
For those of you who don't know who Jermaine Jackson is, you might know the song... Do what you do when you did what you did when you said what you... Yeah, it's
After
that weird
TV
sounding.
Exclusive.
Yeah, right here. It's him. Thank you.
Do you think they're going to collaborate and do an album together?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Okay, for the record, let's just be serious. If there was a single family on this entire planet that actually would buy the Diamond Water concept, it would be the Jackson family. Thank you very little. They would be like, oh my God, the Diamond Water, it's so amazing. Let's do it. Let's sell it.
According to Tamara, they've been dating for about 2 years. They are very serious. They've met each other's families. So.
Well, how come he hasn't been on Shaws of Sunset?
Because she's protective. It's a serious relationship.
So. That I feel like that would get ratings.
All right.
Well. Jermaine, what?
Anyway, anybody else news and gossip?
Nope, that's it. We'll have
that
a lot more.
That blew me away. I can't even remember my name right now.
All right, predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Cameron can't remember his name, so Duo, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, he's still in a fog.
Still messed up right now.
You know, I'm actually going to predict, I think that Gigi is not going to come back season 3. I feel like she's
it's
going
a far off prediction.
It really is, but if I'm right, it's going to be money. I feel like she's going down this downward spiral. I feel like she's really going to lose herself. I feel like she's going to kind of get out of control with this drug and alcohol thing. She's got a lot of demons, and of course, she's drinking beer again. I think that she is not going to be back for season 3. I think there's going to be a huge divide.
Okay.
Wow.
And that was kind of a bummer
prediction.
Well,
the good news is I remember my name. Thank goodness. My prediction, okay, so call this kooky, but there seems to be, for me, a latent reason why someone like Reza would mention about the fact that he had sex with a girl in the company of this girl that he kind of has like a weird little crush on. Mm. He's going through a gay life crisis. Dare I say it, I think he's going to get like in a drunken moment or something. He might make a pass at Lily. They might end up hooking up some. I don't know. I don't know, but I feel like he's either going to try or it's already been tried. Why is everybody
Yerman,
up on
no,
the gallon?
No, that is an amazing prediction. And I think Anna, I look at Anna, I think she's really upset because I think that she was going to say that.
Oh,
I was
gonna... dude, seriously, you got to tell me these things. What that would defeat the whole purpose of having a prediction. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, no, I was going to predict
everybody,
that,
I take back everything I've what I just said. I predict that the show will go on. Go on.
After Buzz.
That's so awesome.
That just...
I didn't realize there's so many sound bites
here. I'm just
here.
Going... Oh, you have no idea. It just means we're on the same page. And
it does.
Yeah, so I just predict that they'll make out.
It's a little weird, right?
You know what, though?
Mentioned that? Like,
who are you? Where can we find you? It's very weird.
Wait. Oh, yes, I remember. That's right. Hi, everybody. I'm Yermonger. You can follow me at Yermonger on Twitter, Yermanger.
Hi, I'm Dua Casey. You can follow me on Twitter at Dua Casey, DuaKaiSSI.
And I'm Anna Koppel. You could follow me at Koppel for Mayor, KoppelForMayor.
That's awesome. How do you spell Casey with one I?
It's KaiSSI.
That you didn't
All right,
get that
so
joke.
We'll see you actually in like an hour. So.
All right, everybody. See you soon.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.